Galatians chapter number 6. Try not to keep you here all night, but you ain't going there or anywhere. Amen. The guy who should need to get out of here is me. The Eagles are playing. Amen. I'm just saying. Well, loosen up a little bit, will you? Good night. Galatians chapter number 6. By the way, my wife was not sick when she came here. She is sick now in bed. Thank you very much. As long as she keeps it to herself, I'm not kissing her either. Amen, Brother Eric? I'm not kissing her. No, absolutely not. I'm not getting sick. Amen? Hello? Ain't rolling like that. If you are sick, do not share it with me. Amen? I love you in Jesus' name. Amen? That's how I love you. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, we love you today. Thank you for what's already going on. And, Just the young people up here, what they could do, what God could do in their lives, and shake this nation up for thee. I pray you'd use your word tonight. I pray you'd wash me and cleanse me with your blood from all my sin. Might we hear from heaven tonight. Lord, have me say exactly what you'd have me to say. And most of all, might you get all the honor and glory. I pray be with my wife. That race her up, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians chapter number 6. Title of the message tonight is this. Do you have a burden to reach people in 2020? Now, let me just help you. There's two words. Burden is something that comes on you and leaves you. A call never leaves you. So July 6, 1980, I got saved. At the age of 25, wasn't raised in a Christian home. I went to 12 years of Catholic school. And in eighth grade, I was thinking about being a priest. Then I started liking girls, and that was the end of the story. Amen? Wasn't going down that road. But I never heard that it was Jesus plus nothing else to get to heaven. And I thought for the first time when I walked into an independent Baptist church, I was 25 years old, and I'm saying to myself, I've never heard this before. Like they lied to me for 25 years. Yeah, I had religion, but I had God in my head. I didn't have God in my heart. And when I got God from my head to my heart, it changed my life. Woo! I'm telling you, listen, I don't know who's here today, and I don't know where you're at in your Christianity, but let me just help you here. If you give your life to God, God will use it in an unbelievable way. So I don't know. Sometimes I have to push, and I don't know if you're perfect. If you're perfect tonight, would you just adjust your halo, okay? You're not around a bunch of perfect people. You're just going to have to leave. I'm sorry. That's just how I roll. Amen? But sometimes I just need to hit the reset button. And I try to in 2019, preacher. I do New Year's resolutions and I take accountability. And a couple things this year that I want to do, and I tried last year and I really failed with it, is this. I want to obey God immediately without question. Now I want you to sink that in for just 1 minute. Do you know how hard that is? like right when God tells you to do something, you like regular question. Hello? No, God doesn't want you to question. You're just supposed to obey immediately. Ooh, it's getting really quiet in here, amen. We didn't even start preaching yet, amen. Come on now. I just want to obey God immediately. And do you know what blessing that comes from? That comes from a life that, you ready? Is obedient all the time. Now, we want our kids to obey. How quickly do we want our kids to obey? Immediately, right? So don't you think God wants that from us? So I want to obey God immediately in 2020. Number two, I want to be, like the kids were talking about, I want to be somebody who's a bold witness. I've never been a stranger in my life. And I need to use that for my advantage when I meet people. Hello? I challenge the young people today, and I'm going to challenge you. I challenge young people, maybe you've never given out a gospel tract. Why don't you this year make a call? Give one a week. Come on now. Is that so difficult? Hello? Listen, if you don't make a goal, you'll surely reach it. Amen? Nowhere. Hello? Did you know why we don't give out gospel tracts? Can I help you here? We don't have them on us. I had a young girl was asking her mom, saying, can I go give that gospel tract? Now, we don't want her to get hit by a car, amen, but I like the zeal. That's why I like working with kids. They just listen and just do it. Let me just start. Stop already. Just do it. Our track racks in independent Baptist churches should be empty. Not because they're sitting in your car. Hello? Because you gave them to people. They're not going to know unless we tell them. We got the truth, amen? Come on now, we have the truth and we're the ones holding on to it. Does that make any sense? So I want to be more like that. Number three, and I'm finished. Just introduction. We're not finished by any means. But anyway, I want to be somebody that when I read my Bible's reading me. And me just not doing it because of duty. To just check off a list. I did that. Okay, let me ask you a question. So what did you get from it? What notes did you take? What's your Bible look like? Come on now. I mean, we're living... Come on. We're living in technology today. That can be used for the better, or that can be used to your destruction. Hello? Do you know why I like camp? Because when they go to camp, they can't bring any electronics. Hello? You know what happens then? God gets a hold of them. No electronics. Ah! Some of them start jonesing like, ah! Like they look weird when they camp. Like, ah! Hello? Because it controls their life. So I want you to think tonight, just for a short period of time, I want you to ask yourself a question. Who do you have a burden for this year to see reached? Who? There ought to be somebody, right? All right, Galatians chapter number 6. Hurry up. You got to hurry up. Come on. Get with it. Galatians chapter 6. We'll read a couple verses and then we'll get into it, okay? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of what? Watch it. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Can I ask you a question? Did you ever get to the point where you look at somebody and say, man, they're really wicked sinners? Yeah, they got exactly what they deserved. Hello? Better watch out. Now, here's our problem. Can I help you here? The problem is, it says, he which is spiritual, go restore somebody. You know what the problem is? We ain't spiritual enough to restore them. So let me help you here, just from Solid Rock's perspective. Or in your perspective. Let's see if we reach 10% of the people who are no longer coming to church. Could we build a building big enough? Hello? Do they honestly know that we love them? Come on. Like, did you ever make a phone call for somebody who's not coming to church anymore? Listen. Somebody needs to reach them. Watch it. The liberals will reach them. They'll have them in their church. Oh, we love you. Yeah. It's all love, right? Come on now. But they ought to see a little love. Hello? Sometimes we just get under. Now, we don't say this, you know, because we know how to hide ourselves. We don't say, like, they really deserved it. We don't say that loud, but we act like it. I would hope that if I got away from the Lord, that somebody would give me a call. And somebody would say to me, you know what? You're messing up. Like, you need to get your life back on track. I would hope and pray that somebody would do that for me. Okay, two reasons why I'm on social media. Number one is I'm on Facebook so people can reach me. I'm not into the nonsense.
I want more of my face in this book than that book. You understand what I'm talking about, right? And number two, I'm on Twitter for the same reason. So I send a Bible verse, or I have somebody who's away from God get a hold of me. Hello? Instant message me. Hello? All right, now here you go. Verse 2. And we're rolling. Okay, here we go. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I was just thinking about this. I was thinking, I appreciate everybody praying for me. When I was going through my cancer and I was going through my treatments, there's a danger. Come on, there's a danger of you just getting concerned about yourself rather than somebody else. Because of what you're going through and the pain you're going through. And the Lord said to me, you know what? You have an opportunity here, going through cancer, to show, come on, that even going through treatments, you can be happy in Jesus. Hello? And so what I did when I went there, I asked the lady, I said, so how many people come in a day? She said, about 40 a day we treat. I'm thinking, what? And God said, you know what? You have an opportunity to show the goodness of God. Whew. So guess what I did? I just preached on. Come on. I just let them have it. I let them have it at the front desk. I let them have it back in the treatment room until finally I had to say, you got to be quiet to get treated. Amen? And that's a little hard for me. Amen? And then when I went, and they told me, the end of June, I remember when I was in the basement. I have a man cave. I know people are against man caves, but I'm sorry. My wife gave me the nameplate. It's on the top. It's pointed down. Man cave. Amen? Hello? It's for men. Sometimes women have to come and they watch some stupid Hallmark movies. Lord have mercy. It's like going to purgatory. You know what I'm talking about? It's like going to purgatory. Like you know the beginning and the end and like you're ready to commit sauerkraut. You know what I'm talking about? Like, supposed to be for sporting events. You know what I'm talking about? Like, come on now, watching football and basketball and hello, hockey. Good night. It's not there for Hallmark movies. I mean, I feel like I gotta get this thing all holy again. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? But you're married, and I've been married for 44 years. You try to make mama happy. Amen. Because if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. How many knows that's true? Raise your hand way up high in the air. Come on now. Absolutely. Brother Eric didn't raise his hand. What's up with you, bro? You must be always making her happy. That's what it is. Oh. So I remember I'm down there. It's June. And I'm getting ready to go to get the diagnosis of how the treatments went. And God said to me, the Holy Spirit of God said to me, do you believe that you're healed right now? I said, yep. I said, listen, I won't even go to the appointment. I'm good. I'll just stay home. I don't need to go. Hello? Hey, it's easy when you tell somebody else to have faith, but it's a little different when you got to have faith. Hello? So, I go. The doctor comes in, it's a lady doctor. She comes in and talks to me. She said, what I'm about to tell you, I've never seen this before. She said, your PSA number is like non-existent. I'm thinking, I said, glory! Like, just like that in the room. Amen. The whole place heard me. Amen. Come on now. Why hold it back? Amen? Come on, let it loose. Everybody needs to know, right? Amen? Come on. And then I found out after I said that, she said, yeah, praise the Lord. She was a Christian. Come on now. Woo! And I just shared with her what God did with me. Now let me help you here. That had nothing to do with me, but it had everything to do with people who praying for me. Whew. I was telling the girls today when we're eating lunch, like I have 3,200 contacts on my phone. When I say
Literally, I have thousands of people praying for me. I am not kidding you. At any given minute, if I send something out, I'm telling you, I get cards, I get letters, it's humbling that God's people care enough that much to pray for you. And sometimes you don't think you need it, but you're mistaken. You need it. So here we go. All right. First point. Now we're rolling here. Okay. The first point is this. If you're going to be somebody who has a burden for people, number one, you can't lose your first love. You got to keep things in perspective. Can I ask you a question? Do you love God more than you used to when you first got saved? Are you as close to God as you used to be? Come on. Do you have a heart and a burden for people like when you first got saved? Can I help you? Life just seems to change that. Come on now. I was telling some people, I think, maybe it was the kids today in June church. I wake up really early. So I was talking to the front desk girl this morning. I was down there about 4 o'clock. And so I began to speak to her about 5. And she said, normal people get down around 5:30. She said, but you're up way too early, amen. I'm saying, I said, well, I'm up early to spend time with God, to be honest with you. I said, but can I ask you a question? I said, do you know where you're going when you die? And she said, I'm going to heaven. I said, yeah. And she said, yeah, because I'm a good person. Woo! Wrong answer. And I found out she had a Presbyterian background. Her name is Stephanie. That's how I remember. Stephanie. And I began to witness to her about the Lord. And just telling her it was Jesus plus nothing else to get to heaven. And I said, Stephanie, you could change this all today. She got divorced late, early, just a little bit ago. Got 4 kids. 3 boys and a girl. I thought, you know, without Jesus, you have absolutely nothing. You have no hope, no joy. Zero. I can't imagine people going through things like that without the Lord. But I want to be somebody who never, ready? I don't want to lose my momentum on the love I have for the Lord, and I want people to know about it. I want them to see it. Hello? Because we got a generation of young kids who are looking at you. Don't think for 1 minute they miss anything, because they don't. So number one, have you lost your first love? Let me give you a little testimony. Now I'm going. I'm going to try to be done by 7:30. Here you go. Watch. Now you're looking at the clock. Stop. Stop already. All right. Here you go. So I'm assistant pastor. I'm working in church, and I feel like I'm not being used. I'm saying, no, God, could you send a family for me to work with? Whew. Listen, it took from one Sunday to the next Sunday. A lady was a nurse in our church. And she said, Brother Kaiser, she said, I met a fella who was outside playing on a portable basketball net, and when he was playing on the portable basketball net, he went up to dunk the basketball and the whole rim and all collapsed, which then threw his leg and all his nerves like an accordion style up into his leg. And she said, you think you could go visit this guy? His name was Jason Park. And the Lord said to me, did you remember when you prayed? Did you ever pray for something and when God answers it, you think like, woo, what'd you do that for? Amen. Like, hello, did I really pray that? Hello. So I go to visit. They're family people. They're all about family. And there's like 12 people in the room. And then I come in. Hello. That's like another 10. You know what I mean? I'm just, Like, hello? And I met the mom, and I met the sisters and the brother. And I said, you know, I'm a little busy right now. You're like, when you get home and Jason gets home, would you mind if I came to visit you on a Tuesday night? And he said, sure. So it was about a week or two later, and we had this thing set up. So I'm going to their house. It's Tuesday night after visitation. It's about 8:30 at night, and I go into the house, and I'm looking, and there's... They said, oh, we're going to meet downstairs. Whew. Thinking, okay, what's going on down here? Hello? Ain't no man cave on that thing, amen? Maybe I'm not coming out of here, amen? But watch. She invited her mother. She invited her sister. And invited, the whole family. There's like 10 people downstairs in the basement. And I'm coming in like, well, what do you do in this case? Here you go. You just preach Jesus, amen? Hello? Just preach Jesus. And so I preach and give them the gospel. And there's only one lady saved. She got saved at, you ready? Teen camp. Hello, as a teenager. All other nine got saved. One night. Listen to me. Do you know how high off the floor I was? Woo! I thought, glory! Over one prayer. Come on. One prayer. So then, they're going to come to church. Now they ask me this question. Could you come, like, and teach us the Bible? I'm thinking, like, hello, are you a little busy? I'm busy. But there ain't nothing more important than that. And for 6 months, we met from 8:30 till 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, and God just met with us. So much so that they came to church, they got baptized. They had kids, they go to our Christian school. Come on now. I'm talking like God showed up, amen? Come on now. And there was one girl, her name was Janine, she was 17 years old. She was sucking everything up. She was a niece. And she came to me one time after a Bible study, and she said, I'm getting ready to graduate. I'm thinking about being a school teacher. She said, but it just seems like God's changing my direction that I need to be a Christian school teacher. I'm thinking, come on. She said, now I'm dating this guy who's lost. She said, can I ask you, like, should I be, like, dating this guy? I said, well, Bible says two can't walk together unless they be agreed. I said, but you know what? If we can get him here, I get him saved. We're good to go. Amen. You just got saved. Hello, both saved. Here we go. Come on. But he didn't ever show up. So she got rid of him. Dumped him like a hot potato. Can I help you tonight? Come on, listen to me. The world's got a lot to offer, but it's nothing for you. Mess your life up, man.
Yes, sir.
Mess, and I don't have the time that I could deliver that, but you ain't got the time.
Yep.
The world will chew you up and spit you out. So here you go. So we go on a mission trip. We go to the Dominican Republic. She says, I like that guy. And it was Ron Autry's son, Daniel. I said, Janine, there's only one problem. He's already engaged. She said, well, you taught me if I pray about it and it's God's will, then it's going to get broken up. If God's in it. Wow. Now she's preaching to the preacher. Amen. So I begin to talk to Brother Alter. I said, what about? He said, to be honest with you, I really don't want him marrying this girl he's going to marry. He said, I think it's of the Lord. Woo. Ready? We leave the Dominican, go back home. And 2 weeks later, I get a phone call. Guess what? It's over. So now, you ready? She can't wait to go back to the next missionary trip. Hello? And she goes back. She gets hooked up with the guy. I mean, they have a long... You want to talk about a long-distance relationship? Hello? From the Dominican. Ready? Watch. Come on now. You ready?
They got married. Come on. I don't know how many kids, 4 or 5 kids, whatever. They're missionaries in the Dominican Republic. Come on, come on. Can I tell you tonight? Listen to me very carefully. Over one prayer. Could I ask a question? What could God do at Walker Bible Baptist Church if we just prayed one prayer to reach one person? Come on now. You know what it does for a church when a Tiffany gets saved? Bring some excitement. Hello? Can't lose your first love. Number two, you can't lose your passion. You got to have some passion. You got to have some zeal. Hello? When I go in junior church, ready, here you go. Watch, come on. I come loaded. Ready? Oh, yeah. The only way you get a piece of this candy is if you make an altar call. Amen? I'm only kidding. I'm only messing with you. I'm only messing with you. Hello? I'm only messing with you. Here you go. Come on. I'm through. So here's my question. You have a burden for somebody. You should. Got to be somebody. Can I have a question now here? Number two. You have some passion. Some zeal. Right, let me give you a couple verses, because then you'll say I'm some kind of heretic. Amen? All right, here we go. All right, let's look at a couple verses. You ready? Matthew 22:37. And we'll close with this. And I want to say something about something, and then we'll be done. I'm a couple minutes over. My wife always says, yeah, you always say you're almost done. That's a typical thing, right? Matthew 22:37. And I want to give a statistic and we'll be finished. And Jesus saith unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy what? Can I ask you a question? Do you love God like that? If I love God like that, do you know what kind of Christian I'd be? Yeah. To be honest with you, I don't. I have spurts. What in 2020 if I stayed that way? Like every day, listen, surrender is a daily thing, not just a one-time thing. You have to surrender every day of your life. If you don't, guess what? Your life's going to be messed up. Here you go. Next one. Ready? And I wish God didn't put this here, but hello, here it is. And this is the first great commandment, verse 39. And the second is like unto, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Whoa, what you going to go there for? Why did you have to do that? I have a neighbor on my side. And all his trees dump all his leaves on my side of the property. I don't have any trees that bear leaves. It's called a 50-gallon bag, 32 bags of leaves. Do you, and I have no trees, do you know what I want to do with those bags? I want to dump them over the fence in Jesus' name, amen? And God says to me, I ain't loving your neighbor. Yeah. How's that going to work when you go witness to him about Jesus?
Yeah.
Hello? Whew. Sort of hits home when you start looking around your neighborhood and you see people just trying to do whatever they can do to survive. I'm thinking, you know what? The only way they're going to find out about Jesus is if I go tell them. So do you have a burden for somebody? If you don't tonight, can I help you? You're backslidden. Whew. You're not right with God. God's got to change something because something ain't working. Do you know that America is going to hell?
Yes, sir.
You ready? Two people die every second. Just figure that one out for a minute. All right, I want to give you this statistic and we'll be through. I keep saying that, right? Here we go. I thought this was unbelievable.
Depression in America is unbelievable. It affects 18 million people. One in every 10 adults are affected by some sort of depression. It is the leading disability between the ages of 14 and 44. One person every 15 minutes commits suicide because of depression. Now here you go. Some signs of depression. You ready? Always complaining. Wants to be by themselves. Feeling you are alone and no one cares. Four people in the Bible, and then I'm done. You ready? How about Moses? He's trying to lead the people who don't want to go where he wants to go. Do you know how overbearing that gets and how depressing that gets it? Listen, God has never called me to be the pastor of a church. I'm an evangelist. I wouldn't want this job. There's a lot of responsibility that comes with that job. And most of the time, ready, watch, we take it for granted. And the number one thing we should be doing is we should be praying for our pastor. Hello? You ready? How about Elijah? Elijah prays down, fire from heaven. The next minute you see he's hiding under a tree. Hello? And wants to die because of a woman. These women are always the problem, amen? I'm talking running from Jezebel, amen? Hello? What in the world? Listen, listen. It doesn't matter who you are. It's going to get you one day. And you're going to feel a little discouraged. And you're going to feel like, hello, God can't use me. But hello, God can use you. Amen? It's only by His grace any of us are here today. I was thinking about these here. Two more people. We're done. How about David? Listen, you didn't do anything wrong. You're going to be king. And you're running for your life. You're hiding. Hello? All right, here you go. Last one. How about Jonah? Jonah, Jonah, did not obey God immediately. Why? He was disobedient. What happened to him? Whoo! Swallowed by a whale. And what happened? He gets burped out into Nineveh where he's supposed to be. Now watch it. Here you go. Deep thought. Do you know why the people were so afraid of Jonah? It's because they worshiped the fish god. And Jonah got burped out by the fish. Do you know why everybody repented? Hello? Like they're thinking like, woo! And Jonah said, I didn't want to come here anyway because I knew you were going to get a hold of their hearts and they were going to repent. What in the world? Are you stupid? Da, 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 da. You got problems. Hello? He said, like wicked people, you're going to give them a break. Did Jonah forget about him? Who gave him a break? All right, here you go. I'm done. So in 2020, who are you going to reach and have a burden for? Because if you have a burden for them, you'll stick at it and let God reach them. Teenager, young person, who are you going to reach? Who are you going to give a gospel tract to? Listen, listen. You have no idea what happens when you give somebody a gospel tract. You don't know. Did you ever meet them miserable people at toll booths? I try to help them not to be miserable, amen? My wife said, you need to stop. No, I can't stop. Yeah. I come up there like, hey! And they look at me like, what in the world are you from? Where are you from? Are you having a good day today? Well, I'm working in a toll booth. What's the matter with you? Hello? They look at me like I'm nuts. But I just told them I'm happy in Jesus. Amen. I said, and what I'm giving you today can change your life forever. Hello? Sometimes I go to Walmart. People are miserable. I'm thinking, why don't you get another job? Sometimes I tell the cashiers that. You happy with your job? No, go get another one. Is it crazy to work in a place you hate to be? Hello? I'm done. 15 times I've been done. All right, here we go. So where are you at today? Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm finished.